In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Ah, this Herod Antipas. What a sad character. He must have been so conflicted as a person. I mean, he's the kind of guy, he did what he wanted, he got what he wanted. But he was also very religiously curious. In a previous episode recorded for us, we learned that he had married his brother's divorcee, Herodias. John the Baptist, of course, had called out that illicit couple for what they were doing. She was scorned, and she was therefore furious. And you know the old saying, happy wife, happy life. So Herod throws John the Baptist in jail. And Mark tells us that Herodias despised him. However, Herod, it says, quote, feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and a holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But you probably know the tale. After that tantalizing dance, inebriated and lust-filled, creepy old Herod promises to give her daughter Salome anything she wants, and she wants what mom wants, the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Herod, we're told, was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. He was worried about his status. He was more worried about what his guests thought rather than doing the right thing. And now he has Jesus in front of him. Again, you see his religious curiosity. He wanted to see a sign. Jesus refutes his endless questions, though, with silence. Proverbs 26:4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself." The depths of this depraved man then begin to bubble up to the surface. He turns to mockery and scorn. And it probably impressed his guest, the uninvited guest, the scribes and the chief priests that had showed up, who were standing around vehemently accusing Jesus. They probably liked how he was mocking him and tearing him down. He makes a friend of an old enemy, Pontius Pilate. And just like Pilate, Herod Antipas found that Jesus was innocent, but he lacked the courage to stop the farce. Herod was so close to being saved. He had an encounter with John, of whom Jesus once said, "Among those born of women, there has not arisen one greater than John the Baptist." And then he has an encounter with Jesus, of whom John said, "He's mightier than I. He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." He's God. He was curious. He was inquisitive. He was searching. But he was also depraved. And he craved something else. Status. He wouldn't sacrifice his image. He cared more about what others thought than what God thought. And he was a fool and a coward and a buffoon. We all know that a person who ridicules and bullies and puts other people down is usually pretty deeply insecure. Only a warp thinking says, if I put you down, it makes me look better. Why then would we ever listen to, why do we ever listen to such fools and let them get under our skin? Well, this is how it ends for Herod. He loses all self-respect. And he also loses his position. He's later exiled. He was unseated by his own nephew, according to Josephus, the historian. Jesus and John the Baptist appear to be the fools at first, hapless victims of powerful people. And we are fools also. We are fools if we follow Jesus. This is what St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what's weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what's low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. This, no doubt, is what holds so many of us back, though. We're afraid of being fools. Religious people, freaks. We want to impress others. We love to win favor. We want to be in with all the right people. We are more worried about what others think of us than what God thinks of us. And so we won't sacrifice our status. Oh, yes, of course, we want Jesus. But when we are called to choose him over how we look in the eyes of others, we send him away. Social media, of course, has only amplified this preoccupation with ourselves. We let people see only what we want them to see, an image or a perception of who I am, not the real me. And of course, we got to keep it up, right? You got to keep up the drama if you want to keep getting those likes. Since we are all born sinful, which means we were born self-centered and narcissistic, this has only added fuel to the fire. Why are we surprised when we hear the statistics and the story after story of increased depression and anxiety and even suicide, all connected to increased social media use? Why? Because trying to constantly project an image of ourselves, we've lost who we really are. Only one thing matters to Jesus. He sacrificed the respect of Herod, of Pontius Pilate, the religious authorities. Their opinion never mattered to him. Only his Father's opinion. So how does it end for the divine fool, the one who was once mocked and ridiculed? The end of Scripture tells us, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And if we would be his fools, those who follow him, here's how it'll end for us. They sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. I want to leave you with a moment of reflection tonight, my friends, to take it to prayer. Do the opinions and the approval of certain people matter more to you than what God thinks of you? And if he mattered most to you, how might that liberate you?
Hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer.